Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another hope made
of another show. Well, people have been telling stories, well, as long as there have been campfires and warm bars on cold nights. Abraham Lincoln first made his name as one of the great raconteurs, enthralling and entertaining listeners as he made his way through the backwoods of Illinois, and later when he was elected to office. This seems to have hit another peak lately, perhaps because of the Moth program, which describes itself as an art and craft of storytelling, not to mention all those serial podcasts. Likewise, in the world of literature, memoirs have become an increasingly popular form. On stage as well, more and more shows feature one person relating his or her own story. Right now on Broadway, Mike Birbiglia is presenting the new one about his experiences as a first-time dad. Then there are those that give us the history of a well-known figure. I just saw the latest of these called Gloria, A Life, about Gloria Steinem, which continues its run at the Darryl Roth Theater in Union Square. You know something is different as you enter the in-the-round space and all the seats have a colorful pillow attached. We instantly feel we're back in a living room in the 60s, which is exactly the point. In the production, Steinem, portrayed by Christine Lottie, narrates her own tale, though she is aided by half a dozen actors of every diverse stripe of the moment who play all the other characters in her life, from editors to parents to talk show hosts. Then there are projections as well on screens, including folks like Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger and others wondering what to make of this woman's lib thing. The audience, not surprisingly, tends to be proudly gray and female, though there are some men clearly dragged along. Three of them may find themselves brought onto the dramatic stage at a faux consciousness-raising session. But I was also happy to see a scattering of millennials eager to learn more about the long-haired, aviator glasses-wearing revolutionary. They may only know the basics of Steinem's life, New York journalist whose original dream was to be a rockette, who once went undercover as a Playboy bunny. She eventually became the most palatable face of women's equality and, of course, was the key force behind Ms. Magazine. But you will also learn here about a rather harrowing childhood on the road and unfinished relationships with difficult parents. I'm living the unlived life of my mother, Gloria laments. Interesting how so many stories of famous and seemingly strong women, Jane Fonda and Sally Field most recently, end with daughters trying to understand the women who raised them. What makes Gloria, A Life, a bit unusual, though that's not the case with jukebox musicals, is that the subject is still very much alive. Steinem herself was, of course, apprised of this production, written by Emily Mann and directed by Diane Paulus, and she's attended some of the performances. The story itself is about 100 minutes long, then you are invited to stay around and participate in a 20-minute Oprah-like conversation. A special guest is often in the audience who can lead those conversations. Steinem herself has occasionally shown up to do so. As for the show, well, it's frankly more TED Talk than riveting theater. I'm a self-proclaimed hopeaholic, says Gloria. She even veers off at times to wink at something in today's news. Can you believe, by the way, she says, that they just opened another Playboy Club? Christine Lottie does a fine job and will be playing Gloria at least for another month. Stay tuned on who or if a replacement is named. Portraying a real person surely presents great responsibility, and these are usually of the flattering variety. One who gives us a bit more nuance is Hershey Felder, who spends some 300 days a year traveling the country, recreating the lives of classical musical artists. Most recently, Irving Berlin in New York. Before that was Leonard Bernstein. He just completed a sold-out run of The Great Tchaikovsky at the Seattle Rep. I asked Felder if it's challenging to portray someone, warts and all, whose descendants are still alive, if not themselves. I do feel particular responsibility to present the character as those who knew him saw him, says Felder. I don't mimic a voice or a mannerism so much as to give an impression of what it may have been like to be in the subject's presence. Well, challenging as this is, actors we know from TV and film often gravitate to one character shows, usually because they have a favorite, often forgotten figure they want to celebrate. For example, Dr. Keeling's Curve, written by Ed Shea, stars Mike Farrell of MASH fame. It deals with Dr. David Keeling, an astrophysicist who died in 1905, but is looking prescient these climate-changing days. The next performance is March 1st at Southern Illinois University. Farrell's former MASH buddy, Alan Alda, is also a science nerd, we know, and occasionally tours in a two-character, though he does almost all the talking to a listening student. A piece called QED about quantum mechanics physicist Richard Feynman. John Lithgow, who often returns to the stage, did a unique turn on Broadway last season, during which he simply read and enacted a pair of his favorite literary pieces. If nothing else, it certainly celebrated the art and comfort of great storytelling. I am, in fact, right now in Los Angeles, where this week a new one-man piece opens about the life and career of James Stewart. Jolie Fisher is doing a stage memoir about growing up in the Fisher family, as in Eddie and Carrie. I also caught the end of the runs of two shows at the Geffen Playhouse in Westwood. The first, Huey, by Eugene O'Neill, is virtually a one-character piece, an inebriated guest talking the ears off of a patient desk clerk. Brian Dennehy played the role that has been performed by actors from Jason Robards to Al Pacino to most recently in New York, Forrest Whitaker. It's not difficult to see the appeal, only 45 minutes, a chance to shine, and you don't even have to listen to anyone else. The Geffen also had great success with its acclaimed version of Dickens' A Christmas Carol, in which Tony Award winner Jefferson Mays took on every character, Tiny Tim, Scrooge, and the visiting trio of nighttime ghosts. Mays is just behind Mark Rylance, I think, on the current world list of wildly talented actors. And I would not be the least bit surprised if his dazzling tour de force ends up in New York next holiday season. Well, A Christmas Carol may be an old story, Jill, but clearly there is always a new way of telling it.
Yes, there is, and I'm sure that we will be seeing these, shall we say, new stories, or new in quotes stories, in the coming seasons. And speaking of which, I always ask you this time of year, is there anything that you are truly excited about coming up?
When I come back in January, I've got my ticket for To Kill a Mockingbird, which, as you know, is getting mostly positive, but some very wildly mixed reviews. But it's a very big success for whatever reason, and that's great. So I'll be seeing that. I, as you know, want to see Laura Benanti do her Eliza Doolittle. I have a bunch of off-Broadway stuff when I get back. Big shows don't really open the other ones until about March, I think. We've got Glenda Jackson, the other one, doing King Lear. Playing King Lear herself, that will be, I would think, a hot ticket. I don't know. What else is coming? Anything with Kelly O'Hara. I think she's doing Kiss Me, Kate, so that's always exciting. I'm sure there's another handful of jukeboxes. Cher has opened. Not particularly interested in that. I don't know. I have to look over the list. But, it was such a full fall.
It was a full fall, and I'm just actually thinking, so, and what stuck out?
Well, I think the one that stuck out for most people.
Mockingbird?
Well, that now, and Ferryman, the Ferryman.
Right.
You know, it came from England, a very acclaimed production. It was beautiful, beautiful, interesting, long show, 3 hours and 15 minutes. Network, which I reviewed here last week, is a popular show. That'll be a limited run because it's got a big star, Bryan Cranston. I always say, I don't know why they can't bring in another star. Maybe they will. Why sometimes they build a show around one person. And as great as Bryan Cranston is, he could certainly be replaced. Same would be with Jeff Daniels, I would think, as Atticus Finch. But as you know, sometimes it's limited for a certain reason. It's usually because of the star. Such a busy schedule, but I don't know why it's so hard to get There are plenty of actors out there who are plenty talented.
Right. Quick question. Have you heard anything about Tootsie?
No, that's another one coming. Is there a date on that?
Allegedly, the first preview is March 29th.
Okay, yeah, March. And boy, that'll just squeak in for the...
Right, but I just, having heard...
Not a word. The one we've been looking at, Dave, which is also on its way, which was a movie about an incompetent president.
Which was very funny. The movie was very funny. It had Kevin Kline in it. And, you know, sorry to be old, but there was a certain charm to it. Speaking of certain charm, because this is an ongoing... I guess it's an ongoing question about the definition of entertainment. The other night, I accidentally found a colorized HD version of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, yes. I know they've been running those.
Now, while it was absolutely... I hadn't seen it. Anyway, it was quaint, and there were things that...
I saw. I've seen every one, yes.
But it was also entertaining in a way that... I still believe would be more welcome. And I remember on a very cold, I think it was a Christmas day or a New Year's day, standing in line on Third Avenue to see Tootsie with bunches of people along. And the enjoyment, I had happened to be working on 57th Street when it was shot during that summer.
Yeah.
But the joy of sitting in the theater with a bunch of people laughing uproariously. Is something that I remember to this day. And I'm not feeling it in a way that I would like to feel it, because that's part of entertainment. That is part of the joy. And in a balanced universe, you need some of that.
Yeah, well, that was such a surprise. You know, there's nothing that beats a surprise, you know, when nobody knew what Tootsie was going to be. Once they're all adapted to theater, okay, they add music and that's fun, and let's see what happens. You know, let me tell you, network on stage does not compare to network the way we saw it originally, because it was such a new idea. It was so funny. It was so smart, and it turned out to be so accurate.
Right.
Now, you know, what is it now? It's history. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Tootsie will be a challenge, because God, look how far we've come on the Me Too movement, and that really was all about a woman playing a man or a man playing a woman so that he could better understand what women go through.
But it was also so he could get a job. Because that was the whole premise. He was such a difficult actor and tarred with that that notion. You know, that was how he was tagged. And so the only way he got a gig was...
That's right.
And that's just... Listen, a long, long time ago in the entertainment business, a hotbed of Me Too, I might just say, long time ago, you used to hire the best way to break a band, I'll just say it this way, get a band from UK and bring them here. No one is really that interested in what's here. And this probably continues to this day. It's like, if it's over there, wow, it's interesting. Yeah. The same people that you can't get to pay a scant of attention here.
Right.
Oh, but look, I imported this from, you know, the Czech Republic. Oh, fascinating.
We still have a little bit of that with our love affair with the West End. Oh, if it won awards in England, it must be great. Oh, if King Kong was a hit in Australia, it must be great. No, some are not. But Tootsie would be fun to watch, and I don't know who's been cast in that, but I want to know who plays Sidney Pollack's role, who... says, oh, my God, I begged you to get a therapist. Remember when he says, when his client tells him that he's going to portray a woman or he's going out, I begged you to get a therapist. That could be a very timely one. Boy, that's going to be that may be the most challenging one since Aaron Sorkin took on Harper Lee.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.